All right, we're learning Tanya. We're going to start with chapter one. There are many ways of learning Tanya, that's the truth. Some people start with chapter 26, not with chapter one. Some people start even with the second part, not the first part, and then go into the first part, chapter 26, and then go to the first part, chapter number one. There are many ways of learning this book, depending on the public, depending on the level of the public, what they're looking for. But as I understand this class, let's start with the chapter one. Some things are going to be easy to understand, and some things are going to be difficult. The Alter Rebbe, who's the author, is going to, the whole first page, basically, is questions. Questions and more questions, and is going to drive us basically crazy, trying to understand where is he going. So I'll say very, very briefly, outside what the Alter Rebbe, where the Alter Rebbe is going, and then we're going to start learning the questions and the possible answers. But the truth is that all of these questions are only going to start being answered, and I mean start being answered, because not the definite answer, only in chapter 10, 11, 12, then the Alter Rebbe starts answering. Oh yeah, that did I mention this and that? So you have to have patience, and you have to understand that there are questions that need introductions. So that's what the Alter Rebbe is going to do. What's the purpose of all these questions? There's a name, and I stress these words, just a name, of a category which is called Beinoni. Beinoni means an intermediate person. And the Alter Rebbe said in his own writing at the beginning of the book, this is called Sefer Shel Beinoni, a book of intermediate people. Okay, I have no idea what you're talking about. What does it mean, intermediate? What is it referred to? We don't know. But this term actually comes up in the Talmud. Quite a few. Comes up in the Talmud. It's not a term that the Alter Rebbe made up. But we have to understand what this is, what this guy is, what this guy thinks, how does he feel, how does he live his life, like everyday life. What's a Beinoni? If you wrote a whole book, like the Alter Rebbe, you wrote a whole book for this type of guy, so explain to me, what is it? What is this guy? So that's where the Alter Rebbe is going. But in order to reach that place, which is only going to be reached in chapter 12, to reach that, the Alter Rebbe has to explain so many things before. So many, the structure of the soul, the structure of the garments of the soul, and what's the world in general, sanctity, impurity, all kinds of things. What's a good guy, what's a bad guy, all kinds of things that the Alter Rebbe has to explain in order to reach what's a Beinoni. And I know that I'm going fast, but at the end, so to speak, of the explanation, chapter 12, chapter 13, the Alter Rebbe is going to say, this is what God is expecting from you. Like, to be a bad person, kill, steal, or whatever you want to say against the will of God, of course God is not expecting this from you, definitely. Such a thing exists because we need to choose between good and bad, so there's a possibility of doing bad, but certainly that God doesn't want that. That's why he said, don't do this, don't do that, and so on. To be a tzaddik, to be a righteous person, that the Alter Rebbe is going to define and explain in chapter 10, it's also not an option. It's not really something we can reach by our work, as we will learn in chapter 10. So I'm not saying the whole thing. So the option is to be a Beinoni. We have to really understand what this guy is. This is what Hashem is expecting of each one of us, to be a regular intermediate person, whatever that means. Okay, let's go. So the Alter Rebbe is going to ask many, many questions leading us into seeing, into understanding that it's not such a simple thing to say, yeah, be an intermediate person. What does that mean? When are you an intermediate person? What's really the point over here? This is what the Alter Rebbe is going to try to lead us by all these questions. So let's go. Perek Aleph, chapter 1. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Braisa is those teachings that were left out by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi when he wrote the Mishnah. They're called Braises. In Tanya, it's a keyword in the Talmud that shows you that whatever we're going to say right now, it comes actually from those teachings that were left out. Besef Perek given the Nida, in the end of the chapter 3 of the Talmud Nida, Mashvi Noise Teitzadik Vel Teirasha. God makes a soul swear before it's born, you will be, like before it's sent down in order to be born and so on, you will be a righteous person and you will not be an evil person, rasha, an evil person. Even if the whole world tells you you are a righteous person, like, oh yeah, this guy is a righteous person, yeah, the other one, sure, for sure. Even so, you have to look at yourself as if you were an evil person. And the Alter Rebbe is going to say later, like in the chapter 12, 13, and so on, 14, Kerasha, like if you were a bad person, but that doesn't mean that you're really a bad person, but look at yourself as if you were an evil person. So now starts the question. Sarich Lehovin, we have to understand all of this. The Atanan, we learned in the Mishnah, you see the difference between Tanya and Tanan. Tanya means a Braisa, and Tanan means a Mishnah. Keywords. Avos Perek Beis, in the second chapter of Pirkei Avos, Ethics of Our Fathers, Ve'alti Rasha Bifnei Atzmecha. The Mishnah says clearly, don't be an evil person to yourself, to your own eyes. We just said that the Braisa says you have to look at yourself as a bad person. And now the Mishnah says, don't look at yourself as a bad person. So, wait a second, what should I do? That's question number one. Begam yebeinav karasha. Furthermore, I have another problem. If you will look at yourself as a bad person, yera levavoi, it's going to hurt you. You're really bad and you're nothing. You're really going to be in anguish. And you will be sad. And you will not be able to serve God with happiness and a good heart, which is an expression in the Torah, Parshas Kisavai. So you have to serve God with happiness, but I can't, because the Torah itself tells me not to be happy, be sad because you're a piece of garbage. I'm not going to be happy with that. So what does that mean, to look at myself as a bad person? And if it doesn't make any difference for you, I don't care, a good person, a bad person, everything is the same. And you're not going to feel bad that you are actually an evil person. You could reach frivolity, which means you don't care about anything, God forbid. Not Judaism, not God, not you, not me, not nothing. I don't care. Call me a good person, call me a bad person. I don't really care. So it's a problem also. Either you care and you become depressed, or you don't care, which is really bad. I don't care about anything. Okay. However, the explanation is like this. And as I mentioned before, this is going all the way to chapter 10, 11, 12, and so on. No, the idea is like this. We find in the Talmud five different types of people. Now, I'll translate in a very simple way, but we will see that the Alter Rebbe offers much deeper translations than mine. But not because I don't know how to translate, even though that's true also. But what I mean is, there's a lot of deepness into what the Alter Rebbe is going to teach. So I will say just the simple meaning of the Talmud, which is what the Alter Rebbe is quoting over here, and then we will see that there's more to it. There are five types of people. Tzadik v'toiv loy, there's a righteous person that is good for him. He prospers. He's successful. Toiv loy, it's good for him. Life is good. He has money, he has health, and so on. He's having a good time. Again, simple translation, not the deepness of the concept. Then you have a tzaddik v'ra'lo. You have a righteous person that is really bad for him. Life is difficult. He has sicknesses and poorness, etc. He's a righteous person, but he's not really having fun out of life. You have a rasha v'toiv loy. You have an evil person that is having a good time, really. He's an evil person. Steals and blabs. He doesn't care about anything. He's having a good time. Rasha v'raloi, you have an evil person that is not having a good time. He doesn't succeed in what he does. Ubeinoni. Oh, there comes up. The Talmud itself says there's another thing called beinoni, an intermediate person. What does that mean? Okay, let's see what the Talmud says. Pirshu b'Gemara, the Talmud itself explains tzadik v'toiv loy, what is a righteous person that succeeds in life. That's a tzaddik gomor. That's a complete righteous person. Whatever that means, we don't know. It's a complete righteous person. Okay, this is what the Talmud says. Tzadik v'raloi, what is a righteous person that is not having a good time, is really not succeeding? Tzadik she'eino gomur. Why doesn't he succeed in life? Because he's not a complete righteous person. Again, whatever that means, but it's not complete. That's why he has problems in life. If you would be complete, you wouldn't have problems. That's the explanation of the Talmud. Uberaya Mehemna, but in the Raya Mehemna literally means a faithful shepherd, which is Moshe Rabbeinu. These are parts of the Zohar, which is a book of Kabbalah, mysticism, that the tradition is that they were actually set by Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why they're called Raya Mehemna. Parts, some parts of the Zohar. In Parshas Mishpatim, over there, it says like this, Pirush, he explained completely different than what the Talmud explains. Again, the Talmud explains that a person is having a good time or a bad time because you're within yourself, complete or not complete. That's what the Talmud says. And the Zohar said something else, Tzadik v'raloi, what is a righteous person that succeeds? And now I'll go to the deeper explanation, deeper translation. Ra means bad, evil. Loi in Hebrew can have many translations. But in this case, loi means yours. It belongs to you. Something belongs to you. Ze shelo. This thing, it belongs to him. Okay, so let's see the words again. Three words, three letters. I'm sorry, three words. Tzadik, he's a righteous person. Verra, and the evil, loi, belongs to him. What do you mean? So the Zohar explains. Shehara sheboy kofuf latoy v'chulei. The evil parts of his life are really subdued to the good parts. So the bad, the evil within him belong to him. It belongs to, I'm the boss over here. I do have evil inside of me. Why is he called a righteous person? Okay, go to chapter 10. Not now. But he does have evil things within him, but those evil parts belong to him. I'm the boss. I manage them. I do whatever I want with them. They're there. And for some reason, I can't take them out. But I'm the boss. They don't control me. I control them. That's what the Zohar says. So the Gemara said, the Talmud said, that this guy is not complete. That's why he has problems, so to speak. And the Zohar is giving a completely more profound deeper explanation. He is the boss of whatever evil he has inside of him. We're not talking about a person that is having a good life or a bad life, health or sickness. No, that's not the point. Forget it. I don't care. You think that the tzaddik, the true righteous person, cares whether he's sick or not? If God wants him to be sick, so he's sick. If God wants him to have money, he has money. If God doesn't want that, he doesn't have that. What's the problem? He's really no problem at all. He's happy with whatever he has. But over here, we're talking about an internal thing in his life. He recognizes this tzaddik, v'ra loy, which has evil parts. He recognizes his evil within himself, and he controls it completely. Loy, belong to him. Okay, so that's the Raya Mehemna. That's what the Zohar says. Uve Gemores of Perek Tes de Brachois, and the Talmud says at the end of the chapter 9 of the tractate Brachois, blessings, Tzadikim yetzer tov shoiftam, chule means etc. The tzadikim, the righteous people, how do these people live? They have a yetzer tov, we don't know what this means, whatever. They have a good inclination, whatever that means. And that inclination judges them. Shoiftam, loshon shoifet, the word shoifet. Judges them, we don't know what this means either. It's going to be explained in chapter 12, 13, and so on. So, tzadikim, the righteous people, the good inclination judges them, etc. Reshoim, the evil people, yetzer hara shoiftam, the bad inclination judges them, whatever that means. Beinonim, oh, we wanted to explain what a beinoni is. Okay, let's see a different place in the Talmud what a beinoni is. Zeveze shoiftam, oops, he has a good inclination and an evil inclination, and both of them judge him or her, is the same thing. Vechulei, etc. The Altrebat is not a copyist of Talmud. So you want to know what the Talmud says? Go look over there. I just told you what it is, the end of the chapter 9. But the Altrebat brings another idea. that is brought down over there. Omar Rabbo, said Rabbo. Rabbo was a very, very special sage in the Talmud. Says Rabbo, Kegoin Ana, you want to know what a Beinoni is? You want to know what an intermediate person is? Look at me. Like me. Beinoni. I'm a Beinoni. I'm an intermediate guy. This is what Rabbo says. Omar Le Abaye, Abaye, who was a student of Rabbo, told Rabbo, Loi Shabik Mar Chai Lechol Beria. You don't live life for any other creature. If you are a Beinoni, if you are an intermediate person, what about me? I'm a Rasha. I'm a bad, I'm an evil person. And evil people are considered like spiritually dead. So if you're a Beinoni, I'm dead. You don't live life for anybody else. You're a Beinoni. You're nuts. You're not a Beinoni. If you're a Beinoni, we're all dead. This is what Abaye told Rabba. Bechule, and so on. Look at the Gemara. In order to understand all of this properly, like a good explanation, we don't understand what this guy is, what this Beinoni is. Suddenly we see that a tzaddik has evil parts also. This is what the Gemara says. And the Zohar even goes deeper, has even parts within him, not just that he's not having a good life. And we see that Rabba considering himself a Beinoni. This is nuts. This is crazy. What is he talking about? What's a Beinoni? I'm not Rabba. So I'm not a Beinoni, so I'm dead. What's going on? Gam, another question. Lehov in Mashamar Eoif, Baba Basra. The Talmud says in Baba Basra in chapter 1 that Eoif, Job, this famous guy, he said like this, Riboine Shaloilo, master of the world. He turned to God and said like this, master of the world. Barasa Tzadikim, Barasa Reshoim, Echule. You created, literal translation, you created righteous people, you created evil people, and so on. So we see from the words of Eoif that we don't really have so much choice. Either God created you as a tzaddik or as a rasha, a righteous person, an evil person, and that's it. Vaha, and the Rebbe asks, wait a second. The Talmud says clearly that when a person is going to be born, there's an angel over there asking a few questions to God. He's going to be tall, he's going to be low, he's going to be smart, and so on. Many questions. Tzadik v'rasha lo kamar. But the angel never asks, is this guy going to be a righteous person or an evil person? That's in your hands. That's in your hands. You want to be a good guy, you can be a good guy. You want to be a bad guy, you can do that also. Okay, God is probably going to punish you, whatever. But it's your choice. Free will. So what is Eve saying? That God created righteous people? God created evil people? No. Doesn't make any sense. Furthermore, Lehovin Mahus Madrigas a Beinoni. Let's understand the essence of a level of a Beinoni, of an intermediate person. What is this? Shebevada yeine mechza zach yesu mechza avoinis. Certainly, says the Alter Rebbe, we're not talking about a person that has half of his life merits, mitzvahs, commandments, good deeds, and half of his life sins. That's not a Beinoni, as we will see later in the next page. The Alter Rebbe is going to quote something from the Talmud talking about this. That doesn't make any sense. Like, I only killed 5 people and I gave tzedakah to 5 people. I'm a Beinoni. Good. I did 5 bad, evil things, 5 good things. I have 5 and 5. I'm a Beinoni. Nah, you're nuts. Shane Ken. If you're going to tell me that a Beinoni, what does it mean an intermediate person? Has some good things and some bad things. How did Rabba, this sage that we quoted before, make such a big mistake on himself? To say that he is a Beinoni. Oh, really? How many people killed Rabba? No, only 2. Okay, so he's a Beinoni. No. It is known that his mouth did not interrupt for a second the words of Torah. He was constantly pronouncing words of Torah, Rabbo. To the point that the angel of death could not govern, could not take him, could not kill him, because he was all the time saying Torah. When you're all the time saying Torah, the angel of the death cannot catch you. So Rabbo was such a special person. He wouldn't die. For whatever reason, he stopped learning Torah. He fell. I don't remember Dovid HaMelech. There's a story by Dovid HaMelech also. But the point is, he was a holy person. Really holy person. How can you say that Rabbah made a mistake with the half of his life sins? The truth is that I have sinned half of my life. And I consider myself a Beinoni. What are you talking about? You're nothing. You're a Rasha. You're an evil person. That's one problem. So we don't understand what a Beinoni is. We thought, Beinoni, half good, half bad, in the middle. No, that's not the point. So let's try to understand, when is this person considered a Beinoni? In which stage of his life? So let's take pictures of this person, and let's see. In the moment this person is doing a sin, sinning. So let's take him a picture. He's stealing, he's killing, he's sinning. The Torah calls him a complete and absolute evil person. So he's in the moment that he's sinning, he's not called a Beinoni. He's called a Rasha, a bad person. And if after the sin he repented, Nikra Tzadik Gomor, is a complete Tzadik. He repented. That's it. He washed out the sin in whatever way he did it. Doesn't really matter. That's the third part of Tanya. We're not learning that now. So the guy, you take a picture of him after he did tshuva, he's a tzaddik. So if you take a picture of him when he's sinning, he's a rasha. If you take a picture of him after doing tshuva, he's a beinoni. And all the time that he did not do tshuva after he sinned, he's a rasha. So when is he a beinoni? Let's take another possibility. Let's say that this guy respects, so to speak, honors what the Torah says, but what the rabbis say, the rabbis say whatever things. I don't care about the rabbis. The rabbis say me too many things. So let's say that this guy, Beinoni, he respects the Torah, but not the rabbis. Let's call him a Beinoni. Says the other rabbi, no, look, even in the moment that a person is sinning with something very easy, so to speak, very simple, that our sages instituted, Mikre Rasha, that's also called an evil person. As it's written down in the second chapter of Yevamos, a tractor in Talmud, and also the first chapter of Nida. I should have made a note before, but I'll say this now. I think it's okay anyway. In the Tanya, and also this happens in so many other books, Hasidus, not Hasidus, doesn't make a difference. In Tanya, when we quote a verse, that's true. That's it. You cannot say anything about that. When we quote a phrase of the Talmud or a phrase of Rashi, of some of our sages, what is called our sages, that's a proof already. So I don't have to, like that Rebbe is saying, I don't have to explain to you that the Talmud in Yevamos might be wrong, but in truth, forget it. It's written over there, that's true. That's it. It's a proof. It's already a proof. So if the Talmud in Yevamos, whatever that means, doesn't really matter, it's a tractate, calls a person that transgresses a rabbinical prohibition or a rabbinical word and so on a Rasha, that's it. He's a Rasha. He's an evil person. No need for more explanation. That's why the Altarebbe doesn't even stop to say, you see, the words are, I don't care. It's written over there. Go look. That's it. Proof. The same thing happens with the Zohar. If the Zohar says something, Pirkei Avos, he brought before, the ethics of our fathers, they say this, that's it. It's true. Complete true. No more need to elaborate on that. So, we cannot say that a Beinoni is a person that transgresses rabbinical prohibitions. He's called a Rasha also, an evil person. Even if a person has in his power, in his hands, literally, but in his power, to tell somebody else not to sin, like to reprimand, to make a reprimand on somebody else and tell him, this is a sin what you did before and so on, and you didn't do it. So let's call a Beinoni, let's say, this guy keeps the whole written Torah, the whole oral Torah, he's saying Torah the whole day, like Rabbah, constantly pronouncing words of Torah, but he saw somebody sin, and he didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. you should have gone to this person and say, hey, don't do this, it's a sin, and so on. But this guy didn't do anything. So let's call this type of guy a Beinoni. So you see how the Alter Rebbe slowly starts putting up a Beinoni. Up and up and up, based on what? Based on Rabbah. Rabbah called himself a Beinoni. So wait a second, a Beinoni probably looks like Rabbah. Probably looks like him. So over here, even a person that has the power, the possibility of rebuking somebody else, I think that's the word, rebuking somebody else, but he didn't do it, that's also called a Rasha. It's called a wicked person. In the sixth chapter of Shavuos, another tractate in the Talmud, because she came with Kal Vachomer, how much more so, a person that does not keep any positive commandment that could keep, if you can't, okay, you can't, whatever. But if you can, and you don't do it, how much more so you call a Rasha? If you don't do something that a rabbi said, you'll call a wicked person. If you don't do something what the Torah said, of course you're a wicked person. What are you talking about? Kemoi, for instance, kol sheb shalo lasek b'Torah. See what it says, so powerful. Any person that can, has the power, the possibility, the time, and so on, to learn Torah, but he doesn't do it. He prefers to watch Netflix and Instagram and let's see what people say about whatever, birds in Antarctica. This guy, Alav Darshu Razal, on this guy, our sages say, Kidvar Hashem Baza. He treated the word of God with contempt. That this guy treated the words of Torah with contempt. He doesn't care. And our sages continue saying, he kores, this guy is going to be cut off from the Jewish people. Very harsh punishment. So what are you going to say? That this guy is a Beinoni? Forget it. This guy could be learning Torah. He doesn't do it. He's a Rasha. He's a bad person. He's going to be cut off. His soul is going to be cut off from the Jewish people. Upshita, and it's obvious. The Mikra Rasha Tfei Me'iver Isu Derabanan. The Alter Rebbe mixes Aramaic with Hebrew all the time. And it's obvious that this guy that treated the Torah with contempt, he doesn't care about it, he doesn't learn it, and so on, is called more an evil person than a person that transgresses the prohibitions of our sages. Because you're transgressing the Torah. Vimken. Being so, again, we don't know what a Beinoni is. We tried a few things. We tried a few options. Maybe this guy doesn't keep the rabbinical commandments. Maybe this guy doesn't rebuke. Maybe this guy, no. It doesn't work. Al karchach Beinoni ein bo yafil avon bitul Torah. Definitely, you're forced to say that whatever a Beinoni is, this intermediate person is, he doesn't even have the sin of not learning Torah. He's constantly learning Torah. Otherwise, he's not a Beinoni. Umishumachita Rabba be'atzmai leimashu Beinoni. That's why Rabba made a mistake on himself saying that he is a Beinoni. And that Rabba is not explaining over here. He's going to explain later in the 10th chapter 13, I think, 12 or 13. The Rabba explains that Rabba did not stop learning Torah, not even to analyze what am I. What do I care? What am I? I just have to learn Torah. So he continued learning Torah. He didn't even stop. Now, there's a note over here. There are quite a few, not so many, but quite a few notes the Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya all over the place. So over here, there's a note by the Alter Rebbe on these words, so to speak, that Rabba did not stop learning when he was and that's why he considered himself a Beinoni, because he didn't even analyze the thing too long. Now, the note, it's kind of cryptic. And there are a few explanations of what the Alter Rebbe meant. But we're going to read it like in a very simple way. The note says like this, in Zohar, again, in mysticism, Kabbalah, whatever, it's written over there in the third part, or whatever, in the page over there. Kol sheme mu'atin avoneisa v'chule. Somehow in the Zohar, somebody said, I don't remember exactly what the name of the rabbi is, what's a Beinoni? They also asked the same question that we're asking over here. What's a Beinoni? And the answer was, any person that has few sins, Memuatim, me'at, very few sins. Oy, it's really different than what we're saying right now. Etc. says Alter Rebbe. Go look in the Zohar. And Alter Rebbe explains like this. He shailas Rav Amnuna le'Eliyahu. This is precisely the question that Rav Amnuna, one of the main characters over there in the Zohar, Rav Amnuna is asking Eliyahu, Prophet Elijah, Eliyahu Anovi, he's asking precisely this question. Hey, a Beinon is somebody that has very few sins? Sounds so strange. This is precisely the question Rav Amnuna was asking Eliyahu. Aval, lefi tshuvas Eliyahu sham, if you look at the answer Eliyahu gave him over there, pirush tzadik v'ra loy, the explanation of a person, a righteous person, that has evil to him, he kama shikosu v'ra memna, parshas mishpatim, is the same answer that we brought before in the name of Ra Memna, a different part of the Zohar, in Parshas Mishpatim, the Le'el, that we brought it before. So, apparently, what the Alter Rebbe wants to say is, okay, there's a question over there in the Zohar, basically asking the same question I'm asking over here. They gave an answer, but you know what? Shivim Ponim La Torah. That's why he finishes like this. The note finishes like this. There are 70 faces to the Torah. But there might be different answers. But I'm not going in that path of that answer. I'm going in a different path. Now, it continues. Having said all of this, we don't know what a Beinoni is. However, we do have a definition of a Beinoni, which is basically the first option we offered that maybe has half merits and half sins. That's why it's called intermediate. But let's see. Why is that actually called a Beinoni? It doesn't make any sense according to what we defined up to here. That we say in general that if a person has half and half, that means half good deeds, half bad deeds, that's called a intermediate Beinoni. And if you have more merits than sins, you're called a tzaddik. So I made all kinds of mitzvahs and good deeds, and I helped so many people. I just killed 3 guys throughout my whole life. Only that. Those are only my sins. Why should I be not called a tzaddik? I have more good deeds than bad deeds. Doesn't sound so nice. Why do we call this person a Beinoni if he has half and half, or a tzaddik more good than evil? Hushema Mushal, says the Alter Rebbe. This is only a borrowed name. He's going to explain. He's not defining what the person is. He's just saying, we call him this way. But it's not the definition of the person. Why do we call it this way? Le'inyan schar ve'oinesh. This is only for the judgment after 120 years regarding the reward you're going to receive, the punishment you're going to receive. Le'fishenito nachar ruboy. God judges a person after the majority of his acts throughout life. So therefore, when a person has more good deeds than bad deeds, it's called a tzaddik. You won, so to speak. You won the judgment. You're fine. Don't worry. Because you actually were meritorious after the whole analysis of all the good deeds that you did in your life, all the bad deeds you did in your life, and so on. Now, one important note. I always, more in a humorous note than anything else, talk about killing people and so on. The Rambam says clearly that we don't know the hardness of each aveira, of each transgression. We don't know that. The only one that knows is God. So it could be that this guy killed one person and still called a tzaddik after all the things that he did in his life and so on. I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't kill anybody and I'm not interested, but I don't know. Or it might be that a guy was such a good person and so on, but he, whatever, screamed at his wife. And God says, no, your wife? Impossible. You're not a tzaddik. But I did so many good things in my life. No. I don't know. Nobody knows. But whatever, let's go back to the text itself. Clearly, and the Rambam mentions this also in his laws of tshuva, the Rambam mentions clearly that God takes all the good deeds, and it's also in Pirkei Avos, the ethics of our father, everything that you do is written down, and God remembers, he doesn't forget, every good deed is written down, every bad deed is written down, and you're going to have to explain, after 120 years, what happened with you. Okay. Aval, however, le'inyan amitas shema toyar ve'amaylo, if you want to go to the true definition of a person, like an adjective, you call this person a tzaddik. You call this person a beinoni, because that's the definition of a person. That's what he is. Not that he won a judgment. Oh, okay, he's innocent. He's a tzaddik. Yeah, you don't know what he really did, but in this particular judgment, he's innocent. But he's guilty on all the other ones. No, 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 no. You want to define a person. What's really the virtue and the level of a tzaddik, of a righteous person, and a beinoni, and an intermediate person? If you really want to define them, Amr Razal, our sages said, tzaddikim yetzetov sheftan, as we said before, the tzaddikim are judged. Now we see a little bit more of what this means, actually. He is going to be judged by his yetzetov, by the good deeds that he did throughout his life, and what's going on within his heart? What's the main voice, so to speak, within this person? Yetzer Toif, a good inclination. Inclination to do good. Shenei Amar, as it's written, Velivi Chola Bekirbi, my heart is empty inside of me. And the Talmud says, Shein lo Yetzer Ara. David HaMelech, King David, who said actually this verse in Tehillim, in Psalms, he did not have a bad inclination, evil inclination. Why not? Ki harago betainis, because he killed, literally, his evil inclination through fasting. That doesn't mean we have to fast. No, 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 no. It's just explaining one idea. A tzaddik, what's the definition of a tzaddik? He's yetzer toiv, his good inclination. Why? Because his evil inclination either is dead, like David HaMelech, or, as the Alter Rebbe is going to explain in chapter 10, he's so small it doesn't express, or furthermore, he changed completely the evil inclination into a good inclination. Now he has two good inclinations. No evil at all within this guy. That's a tzaddik. Ooh, he never has a thought of an evil act at all. Never. Aval, however, kol mi shelo higia lemadriga zu, any person that did not reach this level, again, he doesn't even have a thought of an evil idea, act, nothing. Even though throughout life his good deeds are more numerous, more good deeds than sins, this guy is not at all in the level of a tzaddik, of a righteous person. Even though he has more good deeds than bad deeds, but he still has a yetzer hara, has a bad inclination, and still has thoughts and speech and action, as we're going to learn later, this guy is not called a tzaddik. Forget it. It's important to understand what the Alter Rebbe calls Shema Mushal. We're borrowing a name just to call him like this because he won a judgment, Mazel Tov. But you have a list of 345 judgments on you. You won one of them. You're a tzaddik. Yeah. Let's fight the other ones. Come on. It's not so easy. So, this guy, that's what a borrowed name is. Right now, okay, I'm going to call you innocent. You're innocent to this one. But the rest, I'm not sure. This one you got, innocent. But that doesn't define the person. The tzaddik, in chapter 1 of Tanya, chapter 10 explains it a lot. That's the place where the Alter Rebbe explains the tzaddik. In chapter 1, a tzaddik doesn't have a yetzer hara. Doesn't have evil inclination. That's it. That's a tzaddik. That's what a person is. That's why our sages said in the Medrash, Rakosh Baruch Hu betzaddikim shem mu'atim. God saw that the righteous people were very few. Yeah, now we're talking about very few amount of people. God then, because he saw there were really few people, he planted them in each generation. So every generation would have a tzaddik. We have a tzaddik. And there are different numbers of tzaddikim that the different sages bring, either 36 or more, 36 or 18 or whatever. All these numbers actually represent levels of tzaddikim. that the Rebbe is going to bring in chapter 10, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who tells his son, Ra'is ibn Aliyah, I saw very high level people, but they're very few. And tell me more, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, if they are two, it's you and me. Rabbi Elazar, his son, and himself. And if it's only one, it's me. So we're talking about a very special type of people over here. Very few. Ukemoshe Kosov. And as it's written, Tzadik Yesod Olam. There's one tzadik, there's one righteous person, which is the foundation of the whole world. Every single thing in the world depends on this person. So we're not talking about a regular guy. Sometimes it's a bad thought, whatever. But sometimes that's something that good. Most of the time I behave. Sometimes I don't. Whatever, most of the time, yes. No, we're talking about the foundation of the world. And why does the Alter Rebbe bring this? There's another story in the Gemara in Tainis that all the world is sustained by Hanina Bni, because of Hanina. That God loved so much Rabbi Hanina Ben Doisa, who was a very special person. God loved him so much, that's what the Talmud says. He said, the whole world lives thanks to Hanina. So we're talking about a very special guy. Now, what did we learn up to here? We learned that we have many questions. We don't know what a tzaddik is. We don't know how a person should look at himself. Am I a good guy? Am I a bad guy? In one place in the Torah says you should look at yourself you should not look at yourself as a bad guy. The other place says, yeah, look at yourself as a bad person. We're not understanding what's going on. We found out there are five categories. Two of tzaddikim, righteous people, two of rishayim, evil people. There's a Beinoni over there. We thought the Beinoni was half and half, and everybody can be a Beinoni, it's so easy. No. Suddenly the Beinoni is like Rabbo. He doesn't stop learning Torah the whole day, and he does everything fine. We don't understand when is this guy called a Beinoni, because if he's sinning, he's a Rasha, he's an evil person. If he's doing a mitzvah, he's a tzaddik. So I don't understand. When are you a Beinoni? So, and we're left, basically, with the idea that definitely tzaddikim are very few, very hard level to reach. And the Alter Rebbe is going to say in chapter 10, you can't even reach this. Nobody can reach this unless God gives you a gift. That's his problem. But what's your mission, so to speak? To be a Beinoni. That's why he wrote a whole book of Beinonim, of intermediate people.